Hello and welcome to another episode of the Candy Box Marketing Audio Blog. I am your host, MC, and today we have another epic episode, another awesome interview with the legendary campaign manager of Candy Box Marketing, Julia Bragg. Julia, what's up?
That was an awesome intro.
I honestly, I've been watching a lot of wrestling. And oh, so you know how those announcers do some crazy intros?
It's catching up to me. I don't know that, but
I've been practicing, Julia.
Okay.
I spent the entire morning in front of a mirror getting this right. This was a big moment for me.
I really love that you admitted that. I don't know. Most people would do that.
This just in, we're hiring audio editors to get that out of the clip ASAP. Yep. I'm excited, especially because we've been trying to actually do this interview for a while.
Yes.
Like, I feel like life keeps getting in the way. This is our third attempt.
Well, yeah, because you interviewed so many people, and I was like, okay, I guess he's just trying to iron out all the kinks before he asks me. And then I had to petition to get on here.
It's
and
true.
Then the weather happened and other things, and everything kept getting pushed back. So,
yeah,
finally, here we are.
I mean, a lot's been going on, right? Like, yeah. We moved to a new studio space.
We
have a new branding. Our website just went live on Friday. A lot of exciting stuff happening. We tried to even get in the studio last week, and people were putting up blinds in our new office.
Yes, that's why we couldn't do it last time.
Yeah. But so I'm so thrilled you're here. It's been a while. But we're back in the studio ready to go. So the order of the people that I've interviewed has actually been really interesting because I started by interviewing Ryan, who's a project manager at Launch 48, and we got to talk about the first step, which is how to get the website right.
Yes.
Right? Like, if your website sucks, then nothing else really matters because it's not going to do anything.
Yeah.
Our second interview was with Heather Frum, the content manager of Candy Box Marketing. Mm-hmm. So now that you have an epic website, how do you position your content to make it stand out and communicate with your users? Now I think it's just amazing how it falls into place where you're the third person in this interview and you're talking about now that you have a great website,
mm-hmm.
now that you have really good content, how do you start driving traffic into the website? And frankly speaking, a lot of the interviews that I do and a lot of events I speak at, I find that more people actually fail at advertising than succeed. Right, they're just not great at advertising. I'd be curious to hear from your side why you think that's the case. Like, what are people doing wrong in the advertising game?
Well, for us, like, I specialize in pay-per-click. So it's paid marketing, where I feel like a lot of companies don't feel the need to invest money in leads, where they just want the organic traffic to come in or their blogs to bring in clients. But really, without paying for those leads or those clicks, you're not being at the face of where you're...
Mm-hmm.
your clients are looking for. So without those ads, you're just basically hoping and praying that they'll find you.
Do you think most people don't believe in the power of advertising on Facebook, for example?
Yeah, especially since it's so new and it's such a millennial thing that Facebook or even Google is a way to market to people. They just think like print or TV or radio, where how many times are you in the car where you hear a radio ad telling you to go to a website? Well, if you're driving, the last thing you're going to do is pull over and be like, you know what? I need my carpet cleaned. I'm going to go to this website right now. And so, no. So I don't think a lot of companies realize the opportunity that has for Facebook or for Google, Bing, what have you. If they want to invest money.
That's great. I really love your perspective on the different ways you approach things. And I think that's different versus what anyone else do. Because you don't just come in with an idea. You experiment. You know that, right?
I do.
I'm actually going to put a link off a blog that you and the campaign managers wrote in the past. And I think you're already catching on to which one I'm referring to. You guys went out.
Yeah.
You, Christina, and Carlo experimented on Facebook to see if the ads that you're seeing are actually relevant to you.
Yeah.
Can you share from a verbal standpoint, like, what were the results? What'd you find?
It was really interesting just because whenever you're scrolling through Facebook, you're always having so many ads. So it's interesting kind of taking your own job on advertising to people and being kind of the receiver of that with the ads, because you're almost more critical, like, oh, why am I seeing this? Like, they need to up their targeting. So we took those ads. We took the first 5 ads we saw on Facebook, and we kind of determined how we could possibly be targeted or what they were doing wrong. So, for example, I was getting a lot of baby ads right after I got married. So it's like they saw that I was married, so then obviously I was getting all these
Big Brother is watching.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So they're where really you can actually target parents directly instead of just like married people. And obviously you don't have to be married to have a kid. So
right
away that's wrong. is, or like different things like that. So I think out of the five ads, maybe only one or two were actually something I would purchase, which is really interesting.
I gotta know, what were those two?
I think the, well, this was a long time ago. What did we think? One of them, I think, was a print called, this is not paid promotion, the Night Stars or something,
okay,
where you enter like a date and they make a print of the night sky for you.
So you can do
like your wedding day or like your birthday or something like that, and you get a print of what the night sky actually looked like. So I was like, oh, I really like that. The only thing that actually didn't make me purchase it when I saw the ad was, I think it was $65 and shipping was like crazy. I was like, eh, I'm gonna pass on that. But it was something I actually considered. I went through the whole process except for giving them my credit card number, where when I got ads for like a crib, I was like, oh, like I didn't even bother clicking on it because I just don't care.
That's incredible. I love that blog article. I shared it with a lot of people. I remember Carlo was getting ads from UTM Dental, he's like, I never went to UTM. So like seeing those things is so interesting to understand targeting. And I think that's a big either hit or miss for a lot of people who are like doing well or doing poorly in advertising. So let's say I came up to you and I was a client. You know, I just dropped a book, Project Reinvention.
Link now, down below on
now,
Amazon.
Now available in Amazon. You can get your copy today. Now, let's say I came up to you and I said, I need to know how to target and advertise this book. I tell you the things like, oh, it's, you know, it's target for millennials. It's about personal development, da, 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 da. I need you to help. What is that first step? You get on Facebook. What do you do?
So I would have that conversation with you on what is your demographic? Who are you targeting? And then from there, we would kind of have a discussion on, okay, do I agree with what you're saying? Like, if you're talking about millennials, but let's target people 40 plus, like, okay, we're having...
You
like,
tell me I'm full of crap.
In a nice way. I would.
Good.
But yeah, so we would go from there, and then we would say, okay, because Facebook targeting is so, like, precise. Like, anything you like on Facebook can lead you to ads. So I would say, like, for you, for your book, which was actually quite well, again, on Amazon, if you would like to purchase it, I would say, okay, let's target millennials.
Yeah.
And anyone who's interested in self-help. So we could look at self-help websites that have, like, a Facebook page or even, like, self-help type of Facebook pages. And anyone who's liked those pages, we could target those ads to. And then because they kind of fit in your demographic. Or on the other side of that, it's really good for those who are good graduating college and where they don't know where they're going in life. So we could even go as far as like year they graduated and go that way.
That's amazing.
Or even those entering college.
Yeah.
Or even we could even go a little bit earlier into people in high school, just before they get into the whole like college area on, hey, it's okay if you don't know what you're doing, but...
That's so sweet. See, like, Julia thought we're doing a podcast here, but the reality is I needed free consulting for my book. And that's the whole purpose of why we're in this room. This whole microphone, it's not even on. It's not even turned on.
Yeah.
This wavelength that you're seeing
it's
on
just,
my screen,
it's just
I had Andrew from our team develop a website that just shows wavelengths randomly for the next 10 minutes.
So next we're going to be doing a webinar on how to set up these ads.
Yeah. And now, could you do a demo? No, I'm kidding. I think that's amazing. I think people underestimate what kind of targeting they can do through ads. What is the most popular thing? I know there's like someone's career and job title, which it can be amazingly good if someone's like, I want to target CEOs and presidents and vice presidents and HR. I also know there's people that are like, oh, we've been married for 3 years.
Yeah.
Right? So like, what is the most popular one? And I know it varies based on industry, but what are your thoughts?
So one thing that I really like to do is obviously by age and by gender. One thing that a lot of people don't realize is a lot of ads that are targeted to men, the language is more, it's stronger. Men like to hear like change right away, where women like to romanticize things and hear like what could be. So wording those things differently with images that correspond with men and women, I find works really well. We have one company and they that I'm advertising for and they do bikes. So they sell bikes. So one thing that we like to do for men is focus on like almost like a car ad that you would see where it's really strong language and like talking about how you can have the next best strong bike and all this stuff where you have them going down like a really steep hill and stuff. And it's talking about that. Where for women, we talk about, taking nice bike rides through like the valley and like with nicer imagery with like a sunset where you can actually picture yourself there, where men care more about like being fast
that's
and strong.
So interesting.
It is.
I mean, we're not stereotyping at all, but it makes sense, right?
It does. Yeah. Or even for insurance, We like targeting by gender and then by marital status.
Okay.
So for men who are married, we would talk about protecting your family. Like, make sure your family's protected, get life insurance. What happens when you're gone? Where for women, we would change it a little bit more. Like, think about your kids and things like that. So the wording and how we're targeting makes a big difference.
Awesome. Julia, I love it. I think that's great. Now, let's back away from the tactics for a sec. I want to get to know a bit more about you, okay?
Okay, what do you want to know?
I mean, I found out your mom's following me on Instagram.
She is, and
shouts
you know
out to Julia's mother. You're amazing. Thank you for following me. I will follow you back at the end of this meeting.
Hold on. As soon as
I find out your account.
I texted her before, and I said, I'm about to do a podcast with Mafuz. Get excited. And she said, yay, so excited. Where can I tune in?
Shout out to Julia's mother, my number one fan. I'm going to tag you on Instagram after this podcast goes live. Thank you for following me. You have my support as well. She's awesome. Listen, Julia shares a lot of stories about her mom, and I love hearing this.
You know what? The Facebook post with all the text messages I trolled.
It's so fun. Like, that was one of my favorite posts. Like, you just sharing. Actually, you tell the audience what was that post about. It's so funny.
My mother is a very positive, happy person to the point where it can be very annoying. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to send her the most random text messages I can think of, just to see how she can respond. So one day I went out to the backyard and I found a leaf and I took a picture of it and I said, hey, look at this leaf. And she responded, it's perfect. I was like, okay, this is fun. So one day I went to the mailbox and took a picture and I said, oh, good news, no junk mail today. And she said, awesome, that reminds me, I need to check my mail. And it just went on. Like, it got so random. One day I just sent her song lyrics. Just song lyrics, and she was responding and everything. It was, I sent her a pancake recipe, and she said,
I want
pancakes, I'm gonna make it on Sunday.
Yeah. I loved her responses. I like that you were trying to get, like, mess with her, but she always responded either kindly, positively, or concerning. Like, she was like, are you not eating enough? What was that one message?
I sent her something about how we haven't gone grocery shopping, so it's getting desperate around here. And she said, oh my gosh, is it money? Do I need to get you some groceries or something? And I never responded, which now thinking about it, like, I'm probably still waiting for my groceries.
Yeah. That's true.
Yeah.
You know what? If I almost wish we actually went ahead and made this a Facebook Live video, because I would give a number for her to dial in so we could have a conversation. But please promise me, if she's ever in town and I'm in business hours, you bring her by so I can meet her. Yeah. I think she's amazing.
Oh, my God.
Shouts out to her. Tell me a little bit about the origin story of you ending up in either candy box marketing, in the world of advertising. Where did that all start with you?
So it's a really interesting story. So back in high school, because I think that's where everyone's career starts, I actually wanted to get into journalism. I thought that'd be so much fun. I wanted to meet Anderson Cooper. I love Anderson. Anyway.
He's all right.
He's all right.
On a good day.
He's a silver fox. But then I started taking business courses, and then my business marks were like way higher than English. So I was like, oh, well, obviously that means I need to get into business.
Mark Zuckerberg, no big deal.
Yeah, no big deal. That didn't happen. Anyway, so then I was considering HR, and then I deferred my offers because I was like, I don't want to do HR. No offense to those HR people, but it was not for me. And then I ended up going to school for marketing, and then halfway through my first year, I took a course in international trade, and I was like, I love this. Like, this is really, really cool.
Yeah.
So then I decided to do a dual. Which really did me well in life now that I have that international trade degree. So we did trade, and then I still had marketing to fall back on if I needed it. Trade jobs it's really interesting, but it's very like you either do it right or people could die because you're importing like anything, right? And there's all these laws, so it wasn't like there was no creativity. It was like black and white, like this is the law. So then I was like, you know what? I'll do marketing. And then after that, I just kind of ended up here.
How'd you find out about Candy Box?
Well, it's really, really funny. Twitter.
No way.
There was a tweet that was sent saying that you guys were hiring for campaign manager. So I applied, and 12 hours later, I had an interview. The next day, I was hired. So yeah. Twitter.
You know what? That's crazy. I actually, it's been so long since we talked about that story that I forgot. Yeah. Twitter was your best friend in that situation.
And it's so funny because I don't even have Twitter on my phone anymore.
Were you nervous coming into that interview? What did that interview
look
like?
It was a phone call.
Okay.
So you didn't know
who Daryl was, this mystery voice the other line?
No, I didn't know. It was a phone call. Christina was actually on the line with Daryl. And then I thought it went okay. And then it sounded like a really cool job. And then that was it. And then the next morning, Daryl called me and offered me the job, and I took it. And 2.5 years later, I'm sitting with you.
Yeah, here we are today. We are. This interview would have never happened if it wasn't for that tweet. Someone out there sent the right tweet at the right time. Yeah,
shout out to Heather.
Yeah. Way to go, Heather. Yeah. Showing these content people how it's done.
Yes.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I'm going to wrap the interview up with a couple of questions. The most important question, if you heard my interview, you should know by now what it is. It is, what is your favorite candy and why?
Well, that is so easy. It is the King Size Dairy Milk chocolate bar, plain. It can't be the nuts or the fruit.
Sure.
Because why ruin a good thing?
It's overrated.
It's just, exactly. Mm-hmm. It's just like plain milk chocolate, and it is like a party in your mouth.
Awesome. And of course, like, we can't leave Krispy Kreme out, although it doesn't qualify as a candy.
Krispy Kreme is really good.
It's a winner.
It is. I just had one, so it was good.
Shouts out to Brad for bringing in Box of Donuts to the office. Brad. You are the real superhero, sir.
We should have done this podcast at Krispy Kreme.
Oh my God!
Get those hats.
All right, this episode is being deleted. Nothing we said counts. We're gonna go and do our video. We can take a photo.
That's what I was gonna say. We're gonna go there, grab our photo.
For those of you who heard that sound, that was an epic high five with me and Julia, because that was a brilliant idea. Julia, any last shout outs, final words, things, you know, words of wisdom for people to live by that'll completely change their life? Please feel free to share anything you'd like.
Yeah, you see, when we agreed to do this podcast, we said I was going to be thrown on the spot, and there was not going to be any editing to this, and no preparation. So no, I did not have time to prepare anything epic to say.
Sure, but can I just throw this out there?
Yeah.
Number one, this interview went really
did
well.
It?
For the fact that we didn't prepare
we
anything.
We did not prepare anything.
Let me give the audience a quick origin story about the podcast.
Yeah.
When I first started the podcast, I literally had an entire script open on my laptop, and I hated how robotic I sounded. Right? Like, it bothered me. And no matter how much I tried to be like, "Hey, listeners," I would be caught off guard, and I'd be like, "Yeah, I sound robotic. It's crap. Yeah. I never want to do it again." So 3 podcasts in, I said the only way for me to be natural is to have someone else in the room. So now I started interviewing people.
Yes.
Now, when I did an interview with Ryan and Heather, I still had questions open.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't scripted, but I had 5 questions on my email ready to go. Today, I literally am not even looking at my computer.
It's impromptu.
And this has been amazing. This has been the most fun ever. Heather, wow, I called you Heather. I'm thinking about Heather from the last meeting, and I'm going to definitely need that editor to come in and save the day. Julia, it's been an absolute pleasure.
Yes,
you're awesome.
This was a lot of fun.
Thank you for sharing your knowledge with others. I can't
thank
wait to see what other people get out of this.
Listeners,
thank you for tuning in for another episode of the Candy Box Audio Blog. You can tell I'm committing to this outro thing. Have a good day. Talk to you soon. Bye.